So 28 years ago this month, I know I don't look that old, right? 28 years ago this month, when I was 15, I was in Japan and I was visiting my brother and his family. And at that point in time, my brother worked on the U.S. Naval Base in Yokosuka, Japan. And I went at this particular time of year because there was a big group of my brother's co-workers who were joining the annual pilgrimage to climb Mount Fuji. So every year, there's this annual pilgrimage. And listen, there's religious stuff that surrounds it. That's not why we went. We went because it's a beautiful place to be. We went, that's not why I went. I wasn't hoping to find a dead god on top of a mountain. Don't come for me. I'm being honest with you. We just joined the annual pilgrimage. And what happens every year is lots of folks go. And I'm talking about little ones and older folks. I'm talking about everybody tries to go to this place to pay their respects or do whatever. I was 15. I was like, yes, let's climb a mountain. I'm ready. I'm ready for that. My brother was in his early 30s. He was not so ready. Anyway. So the summit of the mountain is over 12,000 feet. It was just an incredible experience. It took all day. It took us about 9.5 hours. We started in the morning and we got there at dark. And I remember very specifically, at one point in time when you're going up, it's not quite vertical, but it's very close. And we reached the cloud cover. You should never be so high off the ground that you climb into the clouds. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't ever, if anybody ever's like, hey, we're going to do a thing, you'd be like, I'll watch. I will stay here and watch with a telephoto. You know what I'm saying? I'll take your picture. And we were all in this big group of people. And I remember looking up, and it was hilarious because it was taking a while. And there was a person who was standing above me, probably 7 or 8 feet. And all I could see was their legs because the clouds had covered them from the waist up. And it was an amazing experience because you start climbing and you think, is it going to blow me off the mountain? Like, I mean, the clouds are going so fast. Shockingly, it's just like water. It's basically just like mist. It's wild. Anyway, so it's over 12,000 feet. The last few hundred yards, I was 15 and I got altitude sickness. Altitude sickness because I bounded up the thing like nothing was going to bother me. Everybody else is taking their time. And I was like, why are you guys, what's going on? You shouldn't climb too quickly because your stomach goes, okay, everybody out. Like, that's what happens. It just like, it takes a turn. It can't figure out where it is. So I was weak. I was not feeling well. Those last few hundred meters that was rough. That was a rough climb for me. You get to the very top and I don't know if you can see it. I'll kind of laser it for you. Right here, there's this group of buildings. You see it? Big group of buildings right here. You can see there's this little walkway that leads up to it. And there's a place you can get food in case you're hungry at 12,000 feet when you have altitude sickness anyway. It's a place you can take, you know, pictures and photos, and you can look down, you know, into the crater there. It was an amazing experience. The craziest thing for me was I'm standing out on the deck of one of those buildings, and I'm looking out over almost the entire archipelago of Japan. And you can see the curve of the world. You should never be so high in the air that you know for a fact that it's round. Like, I'm not a flat earther, never have been. Don't subscribe to that. I think that's bunk. However, when you get up and at the corners of your vision, you can see that the whole thing is actually round. That's too high. It's entirely too high. It was an incredible experience. And I just wanted to stay there. I was so tired and dehydrated. And I was only 15 and I was like, it should be easier. And all these old people are taking pictures and they're feeling great. And I'm just like, I just wanted to lie down. I wanted to stay for a few days. It was a long climb. I had worked hard to get up 12,388 feet. I had worked hard to get up there and I just wanted to stay. But they don't let you stay. You can't start getting your mail up there. You can't just move in and put up a mailbox. That's not how it works. Came up the mountain, and had to go down the mountain. Now, God bless them for reasons that have to do with whatever around the mountain. The path going down is just this gentle slope. It's just kind of this giant wagon track that everybody stumbles down, and we're all so grateful that it's this just, it takes almost as long, even though it's almost straight down. Went up the mountain, wanted to stay, had to come back down the mountain. Because you just can't stay up there. They won't let you. Many years ago, I heard a pastor preach, and he was talking about how we are meant to live on the mountaintop with God. That Jesus came to fill in all the valleys of life so that we can live from, quote, glory to glory, which is a quote from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What I thought he was saying was that he believed that we, this side of the grave, could attain a height that would keep us in the presence of God, a height from which we would be untouchable by problems or issues. That's what I thought at first, and then he made it clear for me that no, we are created to live glory to glory as we experience the change, as we become the image of God in the way that he created us, as the Spirit comes to live within us and overtake us, as he increases and we decrease, and ultimately we are transformed by the process of death into the supernatural creations that we were originally meant to be, where mortality is no longer an issue for us. I was glad that he said that, because I have learned in my life, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no mountain high enough that you can climb to get away from your life or the challenges of the world. And there's no mountain that you go up that they're just going to say, sure, stay here. If you go up the mountain, you have to come down. And I believe it's the same in our spiritual lives. I think that we should absolutely be grateful for those mountaintop experiences. There are times when maybe you're looking for it, maybe you're not. Maybe you're expecting it, maybe you're not. Maybe you're desperate for it, maybe you're not. That you meet with God in a way that just is, you just never want to leave that moment. You feel the presence of God in a way that just lets you know that this whole thing is real. It's hard to describe. Many of you know what I'm talking about. There's this place where you and the Spirit just kind of commune in a way, and you and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I mean, the whole thing is just working, and it's this wonderful feeling, and we should be grateful for those times. But we're not meant to live in those times this side of the grave. I'm grateful for those times, but I know people who chase that feeling. See, that's what becomes the problem. What we do if we're not careful is that we dull down communion with God. We diminish it to the place where it becomes a feeling that we chase. And if we don't have the feeling, then we doubt the communion. Does that make sense? When we're on the mountaintop, it feels good. And I want to be on the mountaintop all the time because I feel good. And if I don't feel good, then I must not be on a mountaintop, or maybe God isn't here. I don't know if you've ever met church hoppers, not church shoppers. Church shopping is one thing. Everybody's got to do that. I don't know if you've ever known a church hopper. A person who goes and they connect and there's community, and then suddenly, you know, they just don't feel the presence of God in that church anymore. And so they go looking for where God went. You know what I'm saying? As if God is visiting different churches and they're trying to find. It's like when you follow the ambulance down the expressway. Don't tell me you don't, because you do. It's like when the ambulance goes by and you're like, I hope no one is hurt. And you get in right behind them, because you know that nobody's going to get in front of that ambulance. So that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to follow God. You're trying to follow the God feeling from place to place. We are trying to live from mountaintop to mountaintop. And we're not created. We were created that way, but that's not our purpose here. That's not our purpose now. The Bible talks a lot about people who had mountaintop experiences. And you'll be shocked to discover that the ones we know the most about weren't great experiences. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham finally has a child. And by Abraham, I mean his wife Sarah. Props to the lady, because Abraham didn't do anything. He just waited for his wife to give him the child. Fine. Sarah has a child. It's Isaac. Been waiting for forever. Child of promise. Thank God. If you've never read that story, you need to read about Hagar and Ishmael and all that. I mean, it was a mess. Talk about some drama. It was a mess. Finally, the child of promise comes. And he grows, and he's a boy, and God says, I want you to take your son and sacrifice him. Hey? What? I'm afraid I misunderstood. I can't be no, what? That was something I ate. That is not the Lord. I had some bad goat. There's no way. And so Abraham takes his son to the top of Mount Moriah, straps the kid up, puts him on the altar of sacrifice, and grabs the knife. That was Abraham's mountaintop experience. If you don't know the end of the story, spoiler, everything is fine. God just wanted to know that Abraham would submit. He just wanted to know that even the most important thing in Abraham's life, if God asked for it, Abraham would give it to him. So there's a goat, and they both end up going down the hill. And I can only imagine later when Isaac was like, Dad, I have this memory. And Abraham was like, let's change the subject. Do you want to go to Chuck E. Cheese? Like, I could only imagine how that went. Exodus chapter 19. Israelites wandering around out to Mount Sinai. The Lord calls Moses. Come up on the mountain. The mountain's on fire, by the way, because the presence of God descended on it. There's smoke everywhere. And he says, oh, and by the way, tell everybody else nobody touch the mountain because it'll kill you. But I want you to come up the mountain. And so Moses goes up the mountain for 40 days. The presence of God is so powerful for him and in him that he's glow in the dark. And people are just like, no, please don't even look. You shine, you glow. And so Moses walked around with a veil on so he wouldn't scare folk. And Moses went up there to get instruction. And it's from that instruction that all of Jewish tradition and all of Jewish law springs from. And out of that, we have church. We're Jewish tradition, if you can believe that. Well, that's where it started for us. That was the original church, folks. Well, however you feel about that, that's the original church. Those are the original people. Out of that. But that was not a great experience for him. Because he's up there 40 days, 40 nights, no food. That was a trial for that man. Yes, he's with the Lord. And God is just like downloading stuff. It was, I don't know if you've ever seen an old movie called The Matrix, but you plug this thing in your brain and then you can just download information. And so Moses is up there for just 40 days and 40 nights, probably just taking notes like, all right, nothing from the hip. On Thursday, we don't do this. Five times a month, we do that. He's just taking all of these notes and he's giving it back to the Israelites and they're creating their religious and faith culture. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah is running for his life. He's been preaching and teaching all the stuff that God told him to preach and teach. And Jezebel has had enough. He is a meddler and he keeps messing with her rule and her people. And he keeps threatening God's vengeance. And she's like, I'm going to kill you. May I die a horrible death if by tomorrow you're not dead. And Moses is like, meep, 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 meep. He's gone. For those of you that was a Roadrunner reference, thank you very much. He's gone. So he runs to a mountain. Even though he's running away, God meets him on the way and says, hey, this is a long journey for you. I'm going to provide food and water. Just rest. Gets out to the mountain, and it's not what I would call a great experience. Because he hides himself in a cave, and there's fire. There's a firestorm on the mountain. There's an earthquake. The whole place is shaking and falling apart. And then finally there's a whisper. And Elijah goes out and has a conversation with God. All three of those men, by the way, had to come back down from the mountain. They didn't stay there. They had to come back down because the going to the mountain was not the point. The mountaintop experience wasn't the pinnacle of what it was they were supposed to do. Then Jesus, in Matthew chapter 17, takes Peter, James, and John. Says, let's go up the mountain. We read this story and we absolutely lose it because all you can do is read it. It's a one-dimensional black and white communication or electronic, however you get down with your Bible. Jesus was transfigured into God while they're standing up there. While they're there, Jesus begins speaking with two guys who've been dead for a long, long time. Begins having conversations with fathers of the faith. We're talking about Moses and Elijah. Conversation between these three people. And Peter, James, and John are watching that. And Peter says to Jesus, it is so great for us to be here. That may be one of the most understated statements ever in the entire Bible. Like, I don't know what I would have said. I probably would have said something and be like, thanks for this. Like, something so understated. And he said, we're going to build some dwellings for you. Let's build three. We'll build three shacks or something. We'll build something for you, some tents or something, so that we can stay. And Jesus is like, no, we got to go back down. The mountaintop experience is not about a feeling. When Abraham went up the mountain, his experience was about value. God wanted to know, what do you value above anything else? Are you willing to give me? Are you willing to let go of? Are you willing to sacrifice? Abraham's mountaintop experience was about sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice whatever I ask of you? Moses goes up the mountain and his experience is about instruction. Sure, it was about being near God. And you know the story at one point in time, he says, can I see you? And God is like, no, that'll kill you dead. But I'll tell you what, I'll like wedge you into the mountain. I'll run by real quick. That's all I can. I'll jog by, and that's about it. Because otherwise, you gone, smoke, done. You're with me, and I don't want you to be with me yet. I want you to stay down here for a while. It was about instruction. Moses' mountaintop experience was about learning what was important to God and how it was that they were going to work out their faith. Elijah's experience was about hearing the voice of God. There was an earthquake that must have been deafening. There was a lightning storm and fire that must have been terrifying, but it was the whisper that Elijah responded to because he had learned to hear God's voice. That was that mountaintop experience, discerning the voice of God. And Jesus' mountaintop experience was to show Peter, James, and John who he was. He wanted them to understand truly for real, I am who I say I am. I've come from the one I say I've come from. I'm here to do what I meant to do. I'm in charge. I am God. It was about recognizing who was really in charge, who God really is. That's what mountaintop experiences are about. That's what my Bible tells me. And let's never forget that Jesus had a mountaintop experience by himself. The devil took him out into the wilderness and showed him the kingdoms of the world from the top of the mountain. If Jesus came back down from the mountain twice, maybe we can understand something. Maybe we can understand that it's not about the mountaintop experience. It's not about the feeling. It's about what you get while you're there. It's about the purpose that God has for you in that moment. Nobody wants to leave the mountaintop. Nobody does. Unless something's wrong with you. If you like descending back into the chaos of your life, okay. If you like leaving that moment of communion with God where all is right, I mean, it just feels like I'm in the right place and God is with me, and no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. If you like leaving that moment, if what you're looking for is for that moment to be over, you and I should have a conversation. Most people, I'll say, don't want to leave the mountaintop, but everybody's got to, because we're not meant to live at an elevation that separates us from the work that we're meant to do here. We have a purpose down here. We're meant to come down, and we're meant to engage the assignment that Jesus gave us. And coming down from the mountain is a mixed bag. You have no idea. It's wonderful when you have that mountaintop God experience, and then like you have the best week of your life after that. Has that ever happened to anybody? Like you have a God experience, and then nothing goes wrong for 24, 72, 96. Like, you're just like, this is the best week of my life, and it all started with this mountaintop. When these guys came off the mountain, it was different experiences for them. Abraham found a long and a prosperous life. When he came down off the mountain, he came to discover that all God had promised was true. Everything that he said he was going to do, he did. He came down to a long and prosperous life. Moses came off the mountain and found all of his people worshiping an idol that his high priest made them. I need you to go there for just a second. You have been with God, and you've been communing, and you've been speaking truth, and God's presence is so real for you that you're literally glowing with it. And you go home, and your children are worshiping an idol. They're worshiping an idol that Uncle John gave them. What? He was gone for just long enough for that whole group of people to lose all of their faith. And they said to the guy that he's supposed to be partners in ministry with, hey man, we've got some earrings. Will you make us something? He said, yes, here's a golden calf. And they started the party. That's what Moses came down from. His powerful mountaintop experience came back to such powerful and great disappointment. Elijah came down from that mountain and found his successor. And that was important because without Elisha, Elijah's story stops. It just does. Elisha receives a double anointing, a double portion of anointing from God, and continues that prophetic ministry that we know from Jewish history. Jesus comes down from being transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John to find his disciples on the beach unable to cast out a demon because they don't have enough faith. He's been with them now for who knows how long. They have seen him work and move in the Spirit. They've seen him talk to things. They've seen him touch folks. They've seen him make mud and do the thing. They've heard the word. They've witnessed. They've been with God. And these guys, there's this one kid who's got a spirit. And they just were like, we can't do it. And Jesus is like, you unbelieving generation. You've seen me do all of these things. When you come down the mountaintop, it's a mixed bag. But we've all got to come back down because we have responsibilities here. There's a purpose for you here and now. Thank God, God doesn't call us up mountains anymore. I did not climb Fujiyama because the Lord said, come up here, I need to show you something. I would have gone. 15 years old, I still would have gone. I'm not silly, but he didn't call me up there. I just went up there because it was a group of people going and I wanted to take some cool pictures. And who knows if I'll ever climb that thing again. Please, Lord, no. Not now. I didn't go up there because he called me. And thank God, God doesn't call us to strain and to groan and to climb hand over hand and spend days of our lives trying to get to the top of some elevation where he's just waiting for us to get there so he can give us what it is that we need, what it is that he needs to impart to us. This is Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to go there with me. Hebrews chapter 12, 18 through 24. So grateful that he doesn't call us to mountains anymore. This is what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 18. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom, and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Thank God he doesn't call us to perform anymore. Thank God it does not end and begin with our effort. Thank God it is not upon us. The weight of our success and our relationship to and with God is not dependent upon our ability to execute all of the rules and the regulations. Thank God this is no longer about performance, about the climb, because there ain't no mountain high enough that can get you to a place where God keeps you and has you stay and you don't ever come down from. Thank God it's not about that anymore. Now, when you want to experience God, you go right to the source. You go right to the name who is above every name. You go right to him who is and who was and who will be again. You go right to the man who came and gave his life for you. You go right to God himself. No blocks, no issues, no curtains, no more climbing, no more sweating, no more self-destruction, none of that. You go right to the Lord. We no longer come to the terrifying presence of God. We come into the presence of a loving Savior who accepts us just as we are and is simply waiting. He doesn't go anywhere. He's not the ambulance that we have to chase in traffic. He doesn't alight on different steeples Sunday to Sunday, week to week. His presence is available for you. That communion and community is available to you all the time. Will we have mountaintop experiences where the presence of God is so real we feel like we can almost touch him? Yes, my God, I hope so. I'm so grateful for those opportunities. I'm so grateful for those moments when whatever happens in me allows me to touch that, to experience that. When something happens and I'm able to make that connection and there's that community. Will we have those experiences? Yes, and thank God for those things. Are we meant to live in those experiences? Are we meant, this side of the grave, to live at the top of any mountain? Absolutely not. Every mountaintop experience that you have, and I'm not trying to ruin those feel-good moments for you. Do you understand? I'm not trying to take those from you. I'm not trying to turn you into some kind of analytical person where you're like, presence of God is here, what do I need to learn? Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. The feel-good is a blessing from the Lord. Our emotions are a blessing from God. But if it's only emotion, then we miss opportunity. Is God asking you what's most valuable to you in those moments? In that moment, can you say with complete and total assurance that God is the most important thing to me? Because if in that moment you discover your mind is sidetracked by something else, that's an opportunity for you to get your brain back into priority. If in that moment there's anything competing for your attention, that thing got to die. That thing's got to go. Whatever is the most important to you, you've got to let the Lord have that thing. Is it about instruction? Is there something that the Lord wants to communicate to you just by the power of His presence? Is there something that you're missing? Is there some way He wants to increase you? Is there an opportunity for you in that mountaintop experience to learn something? If you just go into it and it's all about the feeling and the kumbaya, you might miss a way that God wants to speak into you. Is that mountaintop experience about your process of learning to recognize the voice of God? All of us want the audible voice. None of you really do, but all of us want it. The audible voice would turn you inside out and you'd be in the loony bin next day because you'd be like, I heard God speak, and everybody around you would be like, come with me, I have some people I would like you to meet. This is Dr. So-and-so. Don't be afraid of the men in the white coats. I can't imagine what the audible voice would be like, though I have heard God's voice in my mind before. What we just want God to be like, step one, step two, A, part three, subsection C. We just want Him to lay it all out, and that's not the purpose of the relationship. Maybe the mountaintop experience is about you continuing your process of learning what the voice of God really is. It's a voice that transcends your feelings. It's a voice that says, trust me no matter what your mind tells you. Is that mountaintop experience supposed to reorient your authority structure? Are you having this experience because God wants you to know, hey, it looks like you're taking control of your life back. It looks like there's some doubt. It looks like there's some distrust. It looks like because I haven't audibly said to you, get up tomorrow morning, eat your Wheaties, and wear the following t-shirt, that you've just pulled back. It seems as if you are trying to get back into the driver's seat of your own life. And this moment is for you to reprioritize your authority structure. I'm in charge. I have to be. I have to be. Not because I have to be, but I have to be. If I'm not in charge of this in your process, you are going to get lost in the weeds. This mountaintop experience for you, my child, is about you trusting me to be in charge again. Mountaintop experiences are to train us for what it is that He wants us to do while we're here. And also, I would say to you, if you've given God control of everything that you value, if you have opened your mind to the teachings and the lessons of His Holy Scripture, if you are listening for His voice, if you are doing everything that you can to discern His voice amidst all of the cacophony, the noise of your life, if you're trying to hear His voice amidst all of the internal stuff that you've got going on and all the external stuff blaring at you, all the cultural and societal stuff that's trying to get on you and tell you how you should be and what you should do, if you're trying to listen for that voice, if you're doing the best that you can to hear that, and if you will continually put Him back on the throne of your life, recognizing Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then I can tell you that no matter what happens for you or to you when you come down the mountain, no matter what you find at the bottom of the mountaintop experience, everything is going to be okay. Yeah. Everything is going to be okay. Yeah. Do we want to live there? You better believe it. Are we meant for that? Absolutely not. What is God speaking into your life on the mountaintops? I don't want to seem as if I am saying that there isn't a connection available with God that keeps you more up. I don't want to seem as if I am saying that somehow God has determined for you to drop into certain holes, fall off the road in certain places. I don't want to seem like I'm saying that. I'm not trying to squish anything that God is doing in you. I'm not trying to quell the presence, the power, or the work of the Holy Spirit on any level. I believe that if God is with us, can nobody be against us? I believe that nothing can separate me from His love. I believe that He's already gone where I am going, and He has already made the way, and I am just simply following the steps that He has righteously put out for me. I believe that it is possible if you pay attention to Him more than anything else, if you watch where He is going more than anything else, and if you don't allow your feelings to run you, then you can spend more time on the upward grade than you do on the downward grade. I want to be clear and say that to you. I'm not trying to say, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt have low levels of depression your entire life, because you're always going to come back down. What I'm saying to you is that if we seek to live on the mountaintop experience, then we miss what it is He wants us to do. And we miss the point. Because the point of the mountaintop is not for you to feel good. That's a byproduct, a holy and happy byproduct. The point of the mountaintop is for you to understand more of who He is and your relationship with Him. I hope that makes sense. Father, I don't know where we are this morning. I don't know if some of us are on the climb up, the proverbial climb up. I don't know what it is that You have in store for each person in here. I can imagine that somebody is going to wake up tomorrow and just have a God experience. They're going to wake up. You are going to wake them up with Your love and with Your mercy. You are going to infuse them with the presence and power of Your Holy Spirit. They are going to have just one of the best days they've ever had tomorrow. I can imagine that other folks are looking at Monday the same way that they look at every Monday, back to the grind. I can imagine that some people, even as I've been talking through these minutes, they're remembering those mountaintop experiences, the places that they were, the person who might have been involved in it, the preaching or teaching that they may have heard, the song that may have been part of that. Because God, You speak to us in all different types of ways. You create mountaintop experiences for us that can just be driving to work, that can be in a church service, that can be in a prayer meeting, that can be in a Bible study, that can be alone, cooking or cleaning at home. That's the amazing thing. You don't call us to specific places anymore, because Your presence is available for us and to us every moment of every day. And we are so grateful for that, God. I don't know where we are in each of our different processes, where we are coming from or going to those mountaintop experiences. But I pray, God, that we would never allow those experiences just to be an emotional marker in our lives. A marker that we long for. A marker that we despair because we haven't been back there. I pray, God, that emotion, that the feel good wouldn't be the thing that we seek, that we walk away with. I pray, God, that we would stand firm in our faith and through those experiences hear You and feel You and see You and give You glory and honor because You are worthy, and take from those experiences the things that You have designed to increase our strength, to overcome our challenges, to lift us up, God, and to exponentially increase our joy. I pray, God, if You are asking for something, that we would give it to You, Father. I pray if there's something that You would have us learn, that we wouldn't just bathe in the experience, that we would listen with our ears open. I pray, Father, that we would learn in those moments to have a greater discernment of Your voice, so that when the noise of our lives seeks to drown You out, that we would just be patient and we would be consistent and we would be disciplined and we would listen for Your voice. And I pray, God, that that experience would be about seeing You as who You truly are, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lamb and the Lion, the Alpha and the Omega, God of very God, and that we would engage the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as our ultimate authority, that we would put You back on the throne of our lives if for whatever reason we have pushed You off. We are grateful for the mountaintop experiences, God, and we seek You in them. We seek You in them, not our own fulfillment. We seek You in them, and we thank You for the filling that happens because of them. I thank You, God, for Your love. I look forward to seeing You on the top of another mountain for me, but I pray I would never miss what it is that You give me to bring back down here for the job You've given me, for the purpose You've created me for the things You want me to do here, to be Your hands and Your feet to this world, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today.